Solomon, just a little background. You know, 17-year-old teenage king succeeds his father, called by God, no doubt about it. Ask after he gives God praise and glory and offers up sacrifices unto God, he touches the heart of God, and God says to him, you know, whatever you want, Solomon, I'll give it to you. And then he began to recognize that, man, I'm going to need wisdom to lead these people. As God is raising young people up today, you're going to need wisdom to lead the people God has given you to lead. And he says, you know, I don't want money. I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for all these other things. I just want wisdom that I can lead this great people. And it touched God's heart. God loves people that are unselfish. If you're unselfish and you're not thinking about you all the time, but you're thinking about how you can bless somebody else, that blesses the heart of God. God says, if you want to bless somebody else, I'm going to give you the tools to bless them with. Because you've asked for wisdom and haven't asked for the other things, I'm going to not only give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you the other things. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you health. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you the kingdom. You'll know how to lead those people. Now, Solomon loves God. He expresses his love to God. It just absolutely blesses me as a 17-year-old has that kind of witness and that kind of wisdom. And now we see here that close to the end of his reign, Ecclesiastes, he's thinking to himself over all of his life, because he actually went before God, because God came to him a second time. And he says, hey, I want you to be careful, be watch out. God come, I mean, the presence of God after he builds the temple of God and they dedicate the temple, the glory of God comes down. They create a throne, but the throne is not for man. The throne is for God to sit on the throne. He comes into the temple, and it's a glory cloud. The Bible calls it the Shekinah glory of God. The people see this and they don't make a whole lot of noise. At this time they praise God, but they fall to the face to the ground. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those moments, but you'll never forget it when you have it. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Can I get a good amen in the house? There's nothing like it. There's no nothing like it. And once you've experienced that, you don't want to go back. You want to stay there. And now, at this time, God says, you know, you sense my presence, and I'm making my abode here. This is where I want to dwell forever. And New Testament, he's dwelling in our hearts. Our hearts are temples of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to grasp this. God says, I love you so much, Solomon, I've got to give you this warning. And this warning is, you know, don't go after foreign women, and don't go after foreign gods. It's Trey was talking earlier about the different gods. He said, no, you know, I want you to serve me, because I'm the one that's best for you. I'm the truth. I'm the only and the true and the living God. Don't go after all the things of the world. Well, it's amazing how we hear certain things and we do what we want to do. Have any of you all heard warning, but you didn't heed warning? Let me just raise my hand. I'm going to throw both of them up, because... And at the end of this time, his time, he gets off, he marries a bunch of women, and for financial benefit and political benefit, and he has concubines and all this other stuff. The end of his journey, now watch this. One of the passages that he talks about in Ecclesiastes 2 and 3, and it'll be on the screen, they'll hold up 8. Eighth verse, when it says, and he says, after much thought, I decided, and look at the number of eyes that are in this, to cheer myself with wine. And he says, and I still, while I was still speaking, I clutched at foolishness in the same way I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and so forth. Let me jump down. Seventh verse. It says, I made, or I even bought slaves, both men and women. and others were born into my household, I wanted and owned large herds of flock, more than any other king who had ever lived in Jerusalem before. Eighth verse. Now you say, Pastor, yeah, we're finally there. I collected great sums of silver and gold and treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women. I had beautiful concubines. Look what he says now. I had everything a man could desire. Say it with me. I had what? Says, so I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. In other words, I was kicking it. If I wanted her, say, come here. If I wanted your stuff, I would go take it. I found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labor. But as I looked at everything I'd worked so hard to accomplish, follow this, it was all so meaningless, or like vanity, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile. Bow your heads as we pray. Now, God, I pray that you speak to our hearts today. Thank you for everything that you've done, how you've blessed us with so many blessings. Thank you, God, for every giver and the gift. Father, I pray that they prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. I pray that we may know you and that we may make you known. Father, now speak to us today, for you've not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And if God has been really good to you this week, why don't you give him a real good praise? He is God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is week four in a theme titled God First. Today's message specifically is words from the wise about putting God first. Say it with me, words from the wise about putting God first. And when I look at this passage, and it just causes me to see a microcosm of America, and not only America, but many that even want to look like us, or the world, actually. What do you mean, Pastor? That so many people are looking for something, they're searching, and they really sometimes don't even know what they're searching for. You know, have you ever gone to the refrigerator, opened it up, looked around, and then closed it, and tried to figure out what you were going in there for? I think that probably happens more often when you're older. Y'all can smile. But the issue is that sometimes you're looking for something, you don't even know what you want. You go in the cabinet looking, I don't really want that. And Solomon was at that place in his life. Man, when you had so much, and what could you give someone with everything? You know, he says, and whatever he wanted, he just said he took it. He decided himself, denied himself nothing that he wanted. So can I start off by saying everything means nothing if God is not put first? He said one more time, everything means nothing if God is not first. Shout it with me, everything means nothing if God is not first. How many of you all really believe that? I believe it without a doubt. I believe it without a doubt. Because you see so many people with so much stuff, and they are just like Solomon. It's meaningless. What does it mean? It's vanity, the King James Version says. Alicia Keys says, some people live for the fortune. Y'all help me out. Some people live for the fame. Some people want diamond rings. And some people just want everything. But everything means nothing if I ain't got you. Now, she wasn't talking about God. But can I let you know I'm talking about God today? Because I finally come to a revelation. Yeah, I came to a revelation this week, and all the brothers was in the men's group, and I said, fellas, I just found out something. I come to the grips with something that I am actually a senior citizen now. They laughed and laughed, but you say, Pastor, so what does that mean? That means that this older generation is called to direct and give wisdom to the younger generation. That's why I chose the subject words from the wise about, you know, putting God first, because if anybody should have some wisdom, some of us should, right? And that's what I was talking to Timothy, and Timothy told me, he says, hey, Pastor, he says, man, it's amazing that, you know, in Solomon's life, he was wise. He was a young, wise man, but he became an old fool. I was like, wow. And we looked at each other. We said, we don't want to do that. So we need words from the wise. You don't have to be that way. And when I see this very passage and I see America falling into this same microcosm, this same ideology of going after stuff, that's why the Bible tells us in 1 John, you know, 1 John 2 and 15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And 16th verse goes on, and this is ever since the beginning of time. It says, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Understand, when the word lust is there, it means you won't be satisfied. Lust means insatiable desires. You've got desires that will not be satisfied. You'll go after this. Think about it. He had, you know, had one wife, and that wasn't enough. Have two, have 700, and that's still not enough. So you can run after the stuff. It's like a carrot dangling in front of your face. I'm running after this and I get this raise. Uh-oh, did I say that? I'm running after this and I get this house. I'm running after this and I get this car. I'm running after it, but still not satisfied. If I had him. Yeah. If I had her. I'm just saying, Solomon was a picture of that. He says, I've got everything my heart could desire, but still, it's like swinging at the air. It's like chasing the air. It's still not satisfying. I want you to know that stuff will not satisfy us. It won't. It won't. I remember when I was coming up, we had like, you know, three basic channels on TV. And some of y'all old folk know what I'm talking about. What, I know the young people said, you only had three channels? How did you live? We had channel 3, channel 20, channel 17, and sometimes 55 if you could tune it in just right. But today we've got hundreds of streaming channels, and people are still hunting and searching and still can't find anything on TV. Can I get a good amen in this house? No wonder Jesus says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek, go after with the passion, go after his kingdom, God's way of doing things, kingdom, the king's domain, but God, the king, his domain. If you do it his way, all the rest of the things will work out. Can I get a good amen? Amen. So let me give you this next point. I just want you to remember the first one. Everything means nothing if God is not first. And this is from wisdom from a wise man called Solomon. So it's important for us to stay awake. And I know the young people would say, they would say, stay woke. You know, that's a job for me to stay woke. And the reason it's important to stay woke, and that's point two if you're writing, taking notes, stay woke, because there's a battle going on. And some people are sleeping. You know, they're sleepwalking, sometimes sleep driving. Have any of you all been driving and went to sleep? Be truthful in the house. Thank you. So I'm glad I'm not the only one. And some of y'all just, I ain't putting my hand up. That's okay. I remember I was sleep driving one time on my way to Indy, and I ended up, people were hitting me in the back of the head and throwing things at me, and we was down in the ditch, and I was trying to figure out if this was a dream or not, about to go off the cliff. And I remember somebody was saying, I've never heard so much people pray so loud. Jesus, Jesus. But it's important to wake. I wonder where we are now as a people as it relates to sleeping. You know, and people say, well, sleeping, well, you know, I'm still saved. I'm not talking about just being saved, because there are a lot of people saved, but they don't have a passion for the things of God. You know, you say, yeah, they're saved, but not on fire for God. It's like a lukewarmness. And I want to make up my mind that, you know, God, because you've done so much for me, I don't ever want to cool down. I don't ever want to get weak in my pursuit of you. I don't want to become lackadaisical. If anybody in the house today, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love that passage when the psalmist says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after you. We in this last day need to go after God hard. If you don't, you get in this place, this lull, this lukewarmness. I don't want to be there. Somebody shout hallelujah. We got to stay awake. Don't spit on them, but tell your neighbors, stay awake. Y'all got masks on. Gigi looks at you. I can tell. Look on her face. She said, what does that mean? If you're sleeping, if you're focusing on things that don't matter, because the man went to sleep, lull to sleep, and stuff can put you to sleep. Comfort can put you to sleep. Blessings, if you're not careful, can put you to sleep. Can I preach today? So he was lulled to sleep, and again, God made a special visit to him to let him know, if you have a divided heart, if you run after these women, and watch this, women or men, it's not gender sensitive, if you go after someone and they are not seeking the same pursuit that you are, they're going to pull you, or you're going to pull them. God knew that. That's why he said, don't you go after them, because, you know, if you go after them, your heart's going to be after them, and they're going to give you their gods. And guess what? They did. Next thing you know, he found himself worshiping other gods. And I know even today that we've allowed certain people to pull us and sway us. And even on television, we've got to watch what we see, because we can be pulled and swayed. Are you still with me? 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out. For your enemy, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. How many of you know that you can be blindsided when you're not alert? And I believe that the church, we have to be alert like never before. And we have heard the sound of the alert warning, if you will. Well, what do you mean by that? There are several people that hear warnings, but they don't heed the warnings. The Titanic, you know, they received several warnings, but they didn't heed it. Pearl Harbor received several warnings, and they didn't heed it till it was too late. And when they woke up, because, you know, the enemy likes to come in when you sleep. Am I preaching okay? Even when the enemy attacked Jesus himself, Jesus was ready to go. And you know what the enemy told him at the end of it? The Bible says that the enemy retreated for a more opportune time. He didn't go for good, No, I'm looking for an opening. How many of us are letting openings be so where the enemy can get to us? Thank you, God. There's a passage, it says, Ephesians 6 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against all the wiles means tricks, strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against, help me out, flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. There's some people that want to take you out. And if we, the church, aren't aware of what's taking place in the unseen realm, we're going to be blindsided. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the house. Hallelujah. Y'all got to help me out. Give God one praise in this place. He's a good God. Wow, there's a heavenly war going on, and it wants to take you out. And one of the ways that we can get out of place, and this war was going on even when Solomon was around. No doubt about it, Solomon was around, and there was an enemy that said, man, this guy is doing too good. And sometimes, you know, the enemy doesn't just hit you all at once. He will bring you into it gradually and has a plan for you the whole time. Yeah, he's doing well. He's not watching. God just blessed him with something else. Oh, I've got something. I got something for him. They're going to get too loose in one of these days. And finally, he got into a place. I liken it to, I was on vacation and vacationing on the coast of Labadee, Haiti. And I was maxing, relaxing, feeling and chilling. And they had this little thing out here where you could go and do some snorkeling and look at the scenery. Well, you that know me know that I'm not a great swimmer. In fact, you know me know I'm not even a good swimmer. You really know me. No, I can barely swim, actually. So they had the paddle boats in there, the paddle boards, the ones that you kick behind. And so I got me a paddle board and got me some water wings. So I put the water wings on and got the paddle board and I just went floating along, and after quite some time I was out there looking at the stuff, and before I kind of like just wasn't alert. Next thing I know, I opened my eyes, woke up, and I was way away from the shore. I mean way away. I looked, I was like, how'd I get out here? I'm way out away from the shore, and now I begin to panic. Here I am this far away from the shore with water wings and a paddleboard. And I start flipping underneath the thing. And you know, sometimes you don't even know you're in trouble until you start panicking. I'm flipped under the board, and then I got on top of it and flipped underneath it to make sure the things don't fall off my arms. I was trying to stay alive. Went under, I then threw the little thing that was in my mouth. I was in trouble. And I had drifted from the shore. Like that song, I had repented, I screamed, I tossed, flipped, and flopped. And I heard that song says, I was sinking far from the peaceful shore. And then I looked up and there was this, I heard this voice saying, hey, mister, hey, mister. I looked over, I'm thinking to myself, you know, who could be out here? And there was this boy, and he was far enough away that I couldn't grab him, or I sure would have. And he was far enough away, and he only had to be maybe 8 years old, couldn't have been that old. And he said, hey, mister, hey, mister. And I said, I looked at him, I said, I was so hoping to get a little closer so I could get something to hold on to. And he said, hey, mister, just stand up. So I stood up, I was like, the water was about this high, I almost drowned it in that much water. Man, I grabbed my paddleboard and my water wings. I walked out of that water. Can I let you know that when you think you're in trouble and you're going down for the last go, sometimes all you got to do is stand up. Stand up and walk back to where you know you were supposed to be, the place where you started. If you started with God, don't panic. God, I need you right now. Solomon had to cry out to God again. Some of us need to cry out to God again. Give him a praise in this house. Maybe you've drifted, and maybe it's time for you to stand up. Let me give you this last point. Solomon is at the end of his journey, and he is saying some things of wisdom. And if you ever want to hear things that are lasting, catch somebody on their way out, because they're not faking, shaking. They have nothing to lose. It's like, hey, this is my wisdom to you. And Solomon tells and writes down to some of his children, if you will, those are younger than him, and he passes some things down. He says, my child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store them around your heart. This is Proverbs 3. And you say, why is he talking about? Solomon wrote Proverbs, a large portion of it. Sometimes, and let me go here real quick before I wrap this. Some people wonder, how come older people get in younger people's business? Can I let you know that older people have been where you've been? Oh, yeah. Just because they got a dress come down to here now. They knew about mini skirts before you did. Can I be real? How you think they got this old? How you think you got here anyway? I'm just being real in the house. We ask the questions. Man, Lord, help me share this. Say, well, why is he so adamant about sharing this message with us? Because I know what happens if you go down the wrong path. Words from the wise. Don't go that way. I did. And you don't want what's on the other side. Are you with me today? So young people, don't resist the words of the old. But know that they know something because they're wise for a reason. Thank you, God. Thank you. Is anybody getting anything? He says, if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. He says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Talking about with the Lord. He says, tie them about your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor both with God and people. You'll have a good reputation. Focus here. Trust in the Lord. This is words of the wise to the younger group, younger generation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All of it. Trust him. Even when you don't understand, you don't see it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't do it your way. Don't depend on your thinking. Don't depend on your understanding, because you're so limited in your understanding. Then it says, seek to do his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Thank you, God. There's someone in here today, a young person that God is connecting you with, a person that cares about you. Cares enough about you to tell you the truth. I am sharing with you today, don't resist what they share, because they share from a place of experience. I told you that I was a senior citizen now. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but facts. Just saying. What does that mean? That means that we're in a different place now. Jesus, come here, dear. We're in a different place now, and it's an important place. Can I help you up? You said, you're good. Take that mask off. We just stay 6 feet apart. God has put us in a place now of reaching out to this generation. In this passage, which we learned as children, and the older generation were imparting to us, now we're imparting to the next generation. This passage, help me read it, dear. It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Fear the Lord. Then it goes on and says, then you will have healing in your body, strength for your bones. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. It says, if you put God first, he gonna hook everything else up. Can it get a good amen? Come on, stand on your feet. I'm done. We're gonna pray. And then he says, and this is from Solomon. Yeah, you didn't bring your mic up? All right, somebody's gonna bring it up. A hint to the wise is sufficient. And then it says, then you will be filled, your barns will and grains will be filled, your vats will be overflowing with good wine. Says, my children, don't reject the Lord's discipline. Now, sometimes this can be challenging. And guess what, baby? We got like 5 granddaughters. And I don't like disciplining them. So you got a job.
I don't mind.
I heard you on, I was so blessed to hear you on the phone this week praying with all of your daughter-in-laws. And it just blessed me to see and hear you pouring into their lives. Everybody that's, y'all that's over 40. If you're over 40, let me see your hands in this.
Wow.
Okay, so if you're over 40, that means you've gained some wisdom. You can put your hands down. Some of y'all say, I ain't putting my hand up. I know you ain't 39. You've been 39 for several years. Can I let you know that we have a responsibility?
Yes.
We have a responsibility. And our responsibility can't be based upon selfishness. We've got to reach this generation. My heart goes out for this generation. I want to see this generation saved. They've got to see an example different than the world.
Yes.
They've got to see people that love God, are committed to God, not half-stepping, going wholeheartedly for God. Are y'all with me today? It's not the norm. It's not the norm. But you're not normal. Can I say it one more time? You're not normal. You're called. You're chosen. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Because he's brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Let the redeemed say so. I've been redeemed and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm here because of God. And may your fire never burn out. May you not slow down. May you not back up. May you not back down. But may you go forward in the things of God and give God your all. May your latter years be your best years. Now bless him in his house. I'm done. Stand right here with me. We're going to pray for some people. But here's what he says. There's just 3 things. You said with me, trust the Lord with all your heart. And the other one can be said, you're not as smart as you think you are. So don't lean to your own understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge him. And he's got a plan your life. Let's bless him one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! Will you close your eyes with me as we pray? Father, thank you so much. Pray for the one next to you. We pray for those that are watching online. We know that you're making some decisions. I thank you, God, that we don't have to make them by ourselves. And we can see from Solomon's example that we don't have to get out there and mess our lives up. But it's good to know that when we do drift away from the shore, we can stand up and go back to the shore and know that you're always there for us, God. I pray for our youth today. Some are making some life decisions. Where they'll go, who they'll be with, what friends they'll have, if they should do this, that, or the other. God, may they acknowledge you. Direct them. Father, I pray that we as a church body go hard after you, that we seek you with all of our hearts. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for challenging us in the word. Thank you for giving us words from the wise. And Father, we've decided that we're going to put you first in all that we do. While heads are yet bowed, there's someone in the audience says, I'm ready to give my heart to God. And I'm going to ask some ministers and elders to come to the altar. And someone says, Pastor, I need to make a decision. And the decision is it's life impacting. And I need someone to pray with me. I want you to join us on the altar as well. Someone will be more than happy to pray with you. Someone else says, Pastor, you know I need to make a change in my life. I've drifted. I've been that drifter. I need to rededicate my life to God. If you're here today and you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord, or if you have and you've just drifted too far away, and he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest, the rest that you've been looking for. You've tried the rest. He is the rest that you need. And then someone else says, Pastor, I'm still trying to find my sweet spot. I want to discover my purpose. If you're here today, we want to pray and connect you with those that can help you walk in your purpose, because there's no sweet spot like it. Now may the grace of God be with you today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be merciful unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you shalom. We ask it in Jesus' name. And we say, amen.